California's Citizens Redistricting Committee will soon begin the complex task of redrawing boundaries for the State Board of Equalization, state legislative and congressional districts. Redistricting follows any census year when population shifts are recorded and voting areas are redrawn to reflect changes. Traditionally, redistricting is done by elected officials, who are notorious for gerrymandering, which is a practice of intentionally creating districts to benefit one political party or group and disempower the political opposition. The practice is blamed for creating a stagnant political environment in which incumbents are unresponsive to their constituents because they're certain their party will retain power year after year. In 2008, Proposition 11 was passed by California voters, establishing that district lines for state legislative districts would be drawn by a 14-member citizens committee. In November, voters gave that committee even more power by approving Proposition 20, requiring it to also redraw district boundaries for congressional seats. Hundreds of California residents applied to be on the committee. Over the past 2 years, the candidates were slowly vetted and whittled down until 14 members were appointed. The group does not have much time to complete its task. It has a deadline of August 15th of this year. Part of the new redistricting process is for the committee to take input from the public on how to draw the lines so that communities of interest, as they're called, are kept together. A diverse array of community advocacy groups have been following the process from the committee's inception, and they are beginning an outreach campaign now to educate the public on its role. My guest is Chris Carson. She's the redistricting program director at the League of Women Voters, California. Welcome to Uprising, Chris.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first of all, what was the process of vetting these committee members? As I mentioned, hundreds of people applied to be on the committee. How did the committee arrive at the members that it has now?
Well, actually, the initial application, there were over 30,000 Californians
Wow.
who applied. It was winnowed down. The people who got through the initial screening for the basic conflict of interest and some other tests had to submit an additional application answering seven questions and giving background, letters of recommendation. The Bureau of State Audit, which is in charge of the selection process, had appointed a panel of three auditors, one Democrat, one Republican, and one who was of neither party, and with staff. And they went through a very, very thorough screening of the applicants. It was all done in public. They did quite a lot of background checks. They didn't take applicants' word for anything. They got it down to 120 applicants, and they were all brought to Sacramento, and they were interviewed for an hour. That was all public. You could watch it. And then from that 120, they winnowed that down to 60, 20 Democrats, 20 Republicans, and 20 that belonged to neither party. And those names went to the legislature, and the legislative leadership had the option of striking up to 24, equal number from each pool. And then after they did their strikes, there was a random drawing by the state auditor to pick the first eight, three Democrats, three Republicans, and two of neither party. And then the eight picked the six to make up what the commission lacked in diversity and of both race, ethnicity, gender, skills, geographic region, that type of thing. Now we have the 14. One has resigned, and the commissioners will pick a replacement beginning this week. But that's how they got there.
So that sounds like a pretty lengthy process, but also sounds pretty fair. Is the League of Women Voters approving of this process?
Oh, yes. We were very impressed. I think everyone was very impressed with the thoroughness and the balance and the fairness of the applicant review panel that the Bureau of State Audit put together. We feel they did a very good job.
Now, it's amazing because, most people don't think about redistricting and where district lines are drawn except when it's right before an election or a major election, at least. This is a good time, however, between elections to think about these things. One of the issues that I mentioned was the committee taking input from the public on how to draw the district lines in order to keep communities of interest together. What does communities of interest mean?
Well, communities of interest is a term of art. It means There are various definitions, but basically it means groups of people who live together in a central geographic area, who have common social and economic interests, racial, ethnic, linguistic interests in common, perhaps environmental interests in common. They live along the same, transportation route. Interests in common. In urban areas, you usually will find neighborhoods that define. They say we're community of interest for these reasons. In a rural area, it's a little bit broader. But just basic people who are of the same type and sort, and who have a common interest.
Now, so this committee, as it is currently formed, how long does it basically last? I mean, do they draw lines between now and August and then get disbanded, or is it a committee that stays on for a while?
Well, the final maps will be done, approved out there August 15th. If there are a lot, the committee does not officially disband then, because there might be lawsuits. The committee also has the task of, if they want to make recommendations for change in some of the process to the legislature. So, no, the committee does not disband officially when the maps are drawn. They are de facto there, well, probably, for 10 years until the next committee commission is put together. But they'll be there for a while with some tasks.
Now, how will the public then be able to give input? I suppose, where a public participation becomes extremely important in order to have the kind of representation that that communities and neighborhoods want.
Yes, the commission is very, very much aware of the need to start getting public input. You see, California will get the census data late March. The deadline will be April 1st, but at that point we will have, the numbers for the state. But the committee has the task of getting public input about the types of districts they want before they start drawing maps. So the commission will be out around the state. They're talking about maybe as many as 50 meetings around the state where the public will come and talk to them about their neighborhoods, their communities, why they want to be kept together. And the commission, it will be in Claremont, California, starting in early February, and as part of a little trial project, on the first Saturday they'll be there, they're going to have a session where the public can come and give input about their community, just so the commission can decide what would be the best form, how they would like the public to give them testimony. This won't, in a sense, really count. They'll come back and get more testimony. But the commission wants to get started on this, so people need to be aware that they have to be thinking about it now, because the commission will be going around the state in February and March and early April to get as much public input as they can, so that when they start to draw the maps, they already know what people want and don't want.
My guest is Chris Carson. She's a redistricting program director at the League of Women Voters California. We're talking about the work of the newly formed redistricting committee that Californians essentially empowered through two propositions. Now, Chris, what advice can you then give local organizations for our listeners who might be part of local organizations that are interested in electoral politics, which certainly does impact all of us, particularly on a local level?
Well, you mean if they want to get involved in terms of how they would like to speak to the commission, what should they do? The League of Women Voters and a number of organizations have formed a redistricting collaborative, which is designed to help communities organize, to talk to them about how to define themselves, how to print out Google Maps and draw your community lines. And so I would say that, if you're interested, you contact the League or one of the other organizations. I'm going to give you a website. It's redistricting CA, that's all one word, in a sense, redistrictingcalifornia.org. You'll find there, you know, all of the organizations. Could contact them. You can contact the League of Women Voters at www.lwvc.org. And, you know, we could try to help you or find another community group in your area who could come and, you know, teach the community what they need to know in order to speak to the commission.
Well, finally, Chris, are you confident that this method of drawing district lines is going to undermine much of the gerrymandering that happens in California, and really, of course, it happens in other states, but here in California, could this committee make this whole process fairer so that politicians can be held better accountable?
Yes, we believe so, because, of course, you see, the commissioners aren't drawing their own lines. They've been very thoroughly vetted for conflicts of interest, not only for themselves but their families. So they have no interest in, I mean, they are committed to drawing lines that keep communities together and allow the voters to define, you know, where they what kind of districts they want, rather than cutting them up and for what the politician wants.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. So those websites, again, are redistrictingca.org
right.
and lwvc.org.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Chris Carson is the Redistricting Program Director at the League of Women Voters California, and we'll post the websites that she mentioned on our website, uprisingradio.org. We'll also send those out to our Daily Digest email list, which you can sign up for through the website. We always put any websites, event information, and other things that we mention on the air on that email list, so you can get it directly in your inbox every day.